Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Yeah, I'm gonna take my horse through the old town road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more. I'm gonna take my horse through the old town road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more.
I got the horses in the back, horse stock is attached. Head is matted black, got the bushes black to match.
I am definitely in support of doing something great at Baptist. However, I don't feel comfortable right now with selling any properties at this moment until we have some type of framework, some type of master development of Baptist. I just don't feel comfortable with us now just going. We just got the property. We hadn't even had a conversation about tearing it down with the company that we're using, and now we're talking about selling property. And so before I feel comfortable with doing anything else at Baptist, I think we need to have some type of framework, some type of master development of Baptist, and also to have some type of workshop before I even feel comfortable with selling any additional properties at Baptist.
That's DeLarian Wiggins, city council member for the city of Pensacola, talking during the Thursday meeting about the acquisition of parcels that were not already on the donation list in order to sell them or, you know, offset the cost of the missing amount, what in, you know, business and politics lingo they call the delta. You know where this comes from? I'll ask you, John. You're a very well-informed person. You know where delta comes from as an expression?
No.
Okay.
Mississippi Delta.
It comes from, not that.
Okay.
Not that. Sorry, I just watched Tron Legacy recently. It comes from chemistry. Delta means change or difference. So the difference between the amount of funds you have and the amount of funds you need is the delta. And somehow it's become fashionable to call it that instead of just say, you know, the shortfall. Or the overage or the, you know, there are perfectly good words in the English language for this term. But instead we've adopted a new word because that's what we do. Anyway, they call it the delta, not the Mississippi Delta, you know.
Not the
Escambia Delta.
And not an airline.
No airlines involved. The $1.5 million shortfall between the amount of money we have to do the demolition and the amount of money that it's going to cost, because the county, remember, they were going to put in $2 million and they didn't, and then they voted to do some other stuff, which really winds up being nothing at all. But DeLarian Wiggins says, look, we got these extra buildings that were donated. Before you just declare them as surplus, which is step one in a long process that would then have to come back to city council before anything was actually done, so that you could maybe find out what they're worth. Let's have a workshop on what to do, because we don't know what we might need those buildings for. I mean, who knows what we might be? We might need the land for, you know, stormwater drain. We didn't have it before, but we might need it now. We might be able to do something else with it. Let's not do anything. And DC is like, we got these for the purpose of covering the delta, and now you're telling me you want to think about using them for other stuff?
None of the original parcel that's been discussed for many, many years is in this discussion. All of these parcels are new parcels.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, Jen Brer is going to bring up the fact that they were in play as right of first refusal, and DC says right of first refusal is nothing similar to a donation agreement. I mean, right of first refusal means that if they want to do something with it, we have to have the ability to match whatever offer they were going to do. I mean, that's completely different than owning it in hand as a, you know, as a donation. But she's right that they were sort of vaguely on the table, but not in the agreement yet. So he says, look, I'm just trying to make sure that we have the money to pay for the demolition. You guys can do whatever you want if you make sure that we pay for the demolition. This is my way of paying for the demolition. And Dina Stallworth, the property leasing manager.
This is basically just asking for permission to proceed with our options. It's not committing us to anything. Actual sale would have to come back to city council, of course. What we're looking at is engaging a broker to give us basically a broker's opinion of value. You might broker's value opinion, BOV, BVO. This is something they provide typically free, it's which is cheaper than an appraisal, and it can be just on these parcels.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest. I listened to this whole conversation, and I don't really get the objection. I don't. I would have voted with the two who voted against delaying. Because what they wound up saying is, we need to have a workshop. We need to let the people have their voices heard. We need to figure out what we're doing with all of Baptist before we declare this. And what I keep thinking is, but it doesn't do anything. it doesn't end anything. All you do is take step one before they can start looking at finding out what the value might be. Charles Baer.
So really what we're doing, we're kind of fishing here a little bit because we're putting these out there to see if anybody's interested without having a real assessment of what the value is.
And Jen Brayer, which they often are in kind of similar pattern of thinking.
I think it's disrespectful to the public to ask them to come and bid on something that we're just kind of playing a game with here about what are we going to do. So I fully support postponing this. And I think, once again, I think we do not use our option to go to workshops enough.
I think that's probably true. They don't do enough of the what the county would call a committee of the whole meeting, where they just get together to talk about a general problem that they don't want to just solve when they're voting on something. They want to, you know, get a directional sense and tell staff what to do. I agree with her about that, but it's not a pretend to sale. It's a find out what you're dealing with. And Jared Moore, the president of the council, says, why can't we declare this surplus and have a workshop? And then we're not waiting on something later so that come December, when this is going to really start to matter because, you know, we're going to start demolishing the project, demolishing the buildings. This doesn't cost us anything. It only gains us information.
I'm thinking through it. I didn't have any objections coming in this evening. So I'm just curious, can we not still have a workshop?
Yes.
If we were to, this just felt like a hypothetical sort of deal to explore the market. I mean, and that seems like a very normal thing to do, to explore the market. Is the way I viewed this thing. Couldn't we have a workshop and have them on the market to see what, you know, I do feel that.
Yes.
The demolition, you know, is coming. So
demolition is coming. You know, he basically says, I don't know what we're afraid of here.
I'm not sure what we're afraid of.
Yeah, because if the mayor decides to do something with it that the city council doesn't want to do, they get to disapprove. They can say no. But there's kind of this, I don't know, simmering distrust of the mayor that shows up in a couple of different ways. This is one way. Part of this was pandering to the perception by people about, you know, their ignorance of this process and not wanting them to feel like this is acting too quickly on this. There was another issue that came up with approval of sale of things by the mayor that was also kind of based on, well, we don't want any scurrilous dealing going on. And, you know, that's also a rule for the future. But just kind of there's, like I said, this weird undercurrent of distrust, resentment, feelings of not having power by the city council. It's not been a problem to date, but this is the first time I've really seen it show up as an impediment to getting something done, because it did vote 5-2. Casey Jones also voted with Jared Moore not to do this because he said there's no risk, and I agree with him, there's no risk. But, you know, it's Delarian Wiggins. It's in his district, I believe. I'm not great on the city council districts. But he says, look, we've got other projects that have been problematic like this. Actually, we'll come back to this in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Executive Landscaping has joined a Russell Landscape Group, combining trusted local service with regional strength to deliver exceptional landscape construction and maintenance costs across the Gulf Coast. Call 770-446-3552. Rolling accident free right now. Not seeing anything that's going to slow you down. I-10, I-110, Highway 90, 98. They all look good this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. Back to the city council deliberation over whether to agree to the mayor's plan to take the newly added on donation parcels by Baptist that were going to be made available for sale. Maybe you have to declare them as surplus first, and then you can start down the path of selling them. But that doesn't mean you actually sell them or donate them or demolish them or do anything with them. You just kind of, you know, getting information, because we've got to fund the demolition and because, you know, there's a little bit of time constraint involved in that. Casey Jones.
Because this needs to come back to us anyway, if anything were to sell, or, you know, if anybody were wanting to purchase these or if we wanted to donate them, I think taking this step is not going to commit us to anything. So I think postponing it is just going to delay getting the process started. And I think we also should have a workshop. And
Have the workshop.
You know, talk about our ideas and what we've heard from the public.
Why not do both? There's no reason you can't do both, but instead they're going to decide to not maybe kick the can, but just, you know, I don't know why this has become the new metaphor for everything in government where they don't act, but they're going to kind of, you know, gently nudge the can a little farther away. Not quite a kick, but a little bit of a nudge. Delarian Wiggins.
I want the best for whatever happens at Baptist. But I think the people out here in this audience and the people that I represent deserve to have an opportunity to come to the workshop and voice their opinions about what they want to see at Baptist. I feel like we rushed too quickly.
Yeah, but this is like extra property donated for this purpose, and all of a sudden you're thinking about what else can we do with it. Well, and again, this doesn't finalize anything. It just helps you have a better sense of what the stuff is worth.
But we spent over $800,000, pretty close to $1 million, for Pensacola Motor Lodge, and we thought it was a great idea. And guess what? It's still sitting there with a fence around it and still waiting to get sold. We thought buying Gibson Elementary for hundreds of thousands of dollars. We thought it was a great idea. That building sits now vacant in my district with a fence around it that is now a blueprint for graffiti. And so for me, as a representative of this district, I'm going to make sure that my citizens and my constituency has an opportunity to speak about what they want to see at Baptist.
So I agree with his concerns, but I think he's actually drawn the exact opposite conclusion from what you should draw. What he's saying is we get these parcels and then they sit and we don't do anything with them. Well, we've literally gotten these parcels and now the council in Delaware and Wiggins are voting to delay doing anything with them. Like, he's actually voting to do the very thing he's complaining about happen with these other parcels, whereas Mayor Reeves is saying, declare them surplus, let's explore our options, and maybe we can act quickly and not have them sit there forever and ever and ever and not get anything done. So I agree with the concern he's raised. I just think that he's drawn the exact opposite conclusion from what you ought to draw. So they vote, and basically they wind up voting 5-2, and Jared Moore and Casey Jones vote to go ahead and declare them surplus today. The other five members vote to wait until after they've had a workshop. So we're going to wait. There you go. That's your decision. 621 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
This History of the Blues is presented by Lambert Transfer and Storage.
The late 1940s saw the Blue Angels move their home base from NAS Jacksonville to NAS Corpus Christi and finally to Whiting Field outside Pensacola. By the end of the decade, the Blue Angels had expanded their team to 6 aircraft and made the transition to the jet age, trading in their propeller-driven Bearcats for Grumman's new jet, the F-9F Panther. Flying jets allowed the Blue Angels to fly even tighter formations because there was no prop wash or engine torque to contend with, as there was on propeller-driven craft. The first show in these new jets was at NAS Pensacola in August of 1949. 51 shows were performed in 1949, the last being in Mobile to commemorate the grand opening of the new Bates Field Municipal Airport. The 1950 season had 22 shows, including season openers at NAS Pensacola and Whiting Field. But the season was cut short by the conflict in Korea. The Navy was in need of qualified fighter pilots, and in June of 1950, the Blue Angels were ordered deactivated and into active combat duty status. After a farewell performance for the home-based Pensacola community, the Blue Angels headed west, stopping briefly for their final air show in Dallas. Off Korea, the team formed the nucleus of Fighter Squadron 191 aboard the aircraft carrier USS Princeton. The squadron was nicknamed Satan's Kittens, and their squadron insignia was designed by none other than Walt Disney himself. Their primary mission was to provide close air support and reconnaissance missions. The leader of the Blue Angels, Lieutenant Commander Johnny Magda, was shot down and killed off North Korea's northeast coast on March 8, 1951. Later that same year, the Chief of Naval Operations saw a recurring need for a flight demonstration team and ordered the Blue Angels reactivated. The team's stated mission was to demonstrate precision techniques of naval aviation to Navy personnel and, if directed, to the public. Lieutenant Commander Butch Voris, the team's original leader, was called upon to reorganize the flight demonstration team, this time returning their home base to the Naval Air Advanced Training Command at NAS Corpus Christi. Two pilots who were with the Blue Angels just prior to the Korean conflict were selected as part of the new 6-man team. The first public showing of the new Blue Angels was at the Memphis Mid-South Navy Festival on June 19, 1952. Also in 1952, the Blue Angels flew their first joint air show with the newly formed Air Force Thunderbirds. I'll be back with more after this.
Need to move across town, across the country, or even across the globe? Trust Lambert Moving Systems. Veteran-owned, military-approved, and now celebrating over 100 years of moving excellence. As a quality award winner, BVB accredited, an agent for North American Van Lines, they handle local, long-distance, industrial, and international moves with packing, storage, and warehousing available. Serving Pensacola to Mobile and all the surrounding areas and supporting the Gary Sense Foundation. Choose a team with a legacy. Lambert Moving Systems. Visit GoLambertTeam.com today.
Witness an ejection at supersonic speed and see the Blue Angels move their home base back to Florida. Next time on News Radio's History of the Blue Angels.
Join Teddy Chartel from Affordable Automotive Gulf Breeze for car care tomorrow morning at 10:30 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Kenny will be sharing his years of expertise on car maintenance, as well as tips and loads of great advice that'll keep your car running in top shape. Whether foreign or domestic, don't miss car care tomorrow at 10:30 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
This is it. It's the last Bands on the Beach of the season, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority. This week at 7 o'clock at the Gulfside Pavilion, you won't want to miss the Modern Eldorados and experience country and rock and roll the way it used to be. They play everything from George Jones, Patsy Cline, and Elvis. This week, Bands on the Beach is brought to you by Step One Automotive Group. Don't miss the Modern Eldorados for the very last performance of the season at Bands on the Beach.
Stream us online at newsradio923.com. Or download the News Radio Pensacola app.
A guy don't walk on the lot lest he wants to buy.
They're sitting out there waiting to give you their money. Are you going to take it? Are you man enough to take it?
Do you want me to get down on my knees? Beg you, baby, please cry a million tears.
Other soft sell with the passing of the lead singer, or not lead singer, the other one on Thursday, I guess, before the Friday show. But man, such good music, which my wife hates. It's okay. John Pickens has got traffic on the, we just disagree about New Wave. I was having this conversation with somebody over the weekend at the Taste of Gulf Breeze, which is a great event. It's always a good, it sounds a little lowbrow when I say it this way, but it's a good feed. It's a good feed for sure. Lots of desserts. Actually, my wife usually does not go to any of these kind of sample your way around events because it's not her kind of food and she's very limited food, but lots of desserts. She's like, I want to go this year. So she had a blast being able to, which is
awesome.
Unusual for us because usually I kind of go by myself or have to go for work or whatever. So it was fun. I'm glad that you guys had so many desserts at Gulf Breeze at the community center. Great event. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. We've got one accident that's going to delay you right now on Mobile Highway in West Fairfield Drive. We're seeing some road blockage associated with that one. That just happened. We'll get you more information right there. But also Highway 29 southbound as you approach 9 Mile Road. You're going to see a minor delay in that area. But other than that, we look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Have to go for work. That's what I tell myself, too. 13 plates in. the USS Gravely, a guided missile destroyer, arrived in Trinidad's capital on Sunday as the Trump administration intensifies military pressure on Venezuela and President Nicolas Maduro. The deployment follows the movement of the USS Gerald R. Ford aircraft carrier closer to Venezuelan waters, which Maduro has condemned as an attempt to instigate an eternal war against his country. The USS Gravely is scheduled to remain in Trinidad until Thursday for joint training exercises with local forces.
And we've got a carrier strike group in the region. And, you know, I was surprised because I was curious what kind of Arleigh Burke class is the class. Those are a full quarter of our entire Navy. Like, we have about 300 ships, a little under 300 ships, 295, 296, something like that. We have like 74 or 75 Arleigh Burke class destroyers, and that's one of them. That's from, did you ever watch the show when it was on, The Last Ship? It's a great show.
I haven't seen it, no.
Oh, John's nodding his head. That was a great show.
I loved it.
Got everything. It's got naval, military stuff. Oh, it's got drama. It's got apocalyptic, you know, diseases and not zombies, but sort of, you know, like it was, I mean, anyway, go ahead, sir. What else?
I can't believe I missed that one. I'll have to look it up. Hurricane Melissa rapidly intensified into a category five storm. I'm sorry, today, prompting Jamaican officials to urge their residents to seek shelter. The storm's already now linked to at least 3 deaths in Haiti and 1 in the Dominican Republic.
That is going to be it's going to be awful for Jamaica. It's going to be bad for Cuba, the east end of Cuba when it gets there, the Gitmo side, but it's going to be really
moving
bad for Jamaica.
Slow. 3 miles an hour right now, winds 160 miles an hour, so we'll be watching that today.
That is, you never see that combination. That's just crazy. Anyway, go on.
It's expected to make landfall, I believe, tonight or early tomorrow morning there in Jamaica. President Trump says he's willing to extend his trip abroad to Asia if Kim Jong-un wants to meet with him. The president and Kim Jong-un did meet a few times during Trump's first term in office. North Korea, of course, one of the few nations around the globe armed with nuclear weapons.
All right. Thanks so much, David. If you need to get a home improvement project underway, if you're trying to figure out what to do with a home improvement project or a repair, you know, honey-do list or whatever, Pensacola Hardware, they're your place. They've got your supplies and more than just your stuff, they've got your advice. How to use it, how to solve it, whatever the issue is, go to them and say, hey, this is what I've encountered. What can you help me with? And they will know. They have been doing this for 174 years, literally since before the Civil War. Pensacola Hardware has been there like before there was a Levi's. I mean, it's crazy to think about this. Since 1851, they have been helping people build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola. And whether if you're in commercial, they are your construction supply business. The warehouse is right here. They can ship it to your job site. They can put you on a monthly bill. They'll take care of you. And if you got a problem, they will be able to help you fix it, even knowing like the codes and the inspectors sometimes. And if you need to special order something, you know, for the architects, a specified product or whatever, they can do that. So every level of hardware need, Pensacola Hardware, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street.
Pelosi. President Trump is in Japan for the next leg of his Asia chore. He's going to meet with the country's new prime minister, who hopes to bond over their shared connection to former Prime Minister Shinzo Abe and win assurances on trade.
Everything that happens here in Japan today is going to be to try to counter China's influence in the region. That is why President Trump stopped on the way to strike rare earth minerals deals with Malaysia and Cambodia and Thailand ahead of a meeting with China's Xi in South Korea this week.
That's Fox's Peter Ducey with the president. Day 27 of the government shutdown and SNAP benefits are set to expire across the country this week.
The USDA, which administers federal SNAP benefits, posted this warning on its website. Bottom line, the well has run dry. At this time, there will be no benefits issued November 1st.
That's Fox's Douglas Ader. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got cloudy skies, 65 degrees this morning here in Pensacola. A 16-year-old has been taken to the hospital in critical condition after an accidental shooting at a party on Sunday morning in the Walnut Hill area. Another teen now facing charges related to this incident as well. It happened at a property on South Highway 99 and Morgan Road in Walnut Hill. Deputies say the teen that fired the weapon was charged with grand theft of a firearm and possession of a firearm by a minor. Now, he's not charged with the shooting itself. Investigators did say that that shooting was deemed accidental. The teen who suffered the gunshot wound was flown to the hospital. The incident does remain under investigation. A teenager from Gulf Breeze has been selected to compete at the Trampoline Gymnastics World Championships. He's one of 23 athletes chosen to represent the U.S. in this event. 17-year-old West Fowler, he received a send-off party on Saturday at his practice studio. That event happens in Pamplona, Spain, November 6th through November 9th. Well, nearly 1,000 non-essential staff members from Naval Station Guantanamo Bay in Cuba have been evacuated into NAS Pensacola. They arrived Saturday night. NAS Pensacola's Navy Lodge and Navy Inn are providing the lodging for these folks. Hundreds of pets were also flown in. They're being housed now in a makeshift kennel under a mandatory quarantine. The USO of Northwest Florida is collecting pet food donations for those animals. Those are being accepted at the American Legion Post 240 so far. Two truckloads of food have been dropped off at the USO. They're also accepting other pet items like beds, blankets, and bowls. And there's no word how long the Navy personnel and their pets will be here in Pensacola. A 70-year-old woman was injured in a crash on Highway 29 and 97 on Friday afternoon near Molino. Officials say the woman was headed north on 29 in her SUV when she turned and then didn't yield to a vehicle that was coming from the opposite direction. That oncoming SUV crashed into the passenger side of her vehicle. The man driving that vehicle suffered minor injuries. The woman was taken to the hospital with critical injuries. Warrington Preparatory Academy has rescinded its request for a $7.4 million grant from Triumph Golf Coast aimed at funding industry certifications due to insurmountable challenges. Now, despite that decision, the school says they were actually still able to help students earn 537 industry certifications without the use of the grant money. The grant was initially tied to a workforce education program that had the goal of providing students with certifications in defense, life sciences, and professional services. The program was expected to benefit students in grades 6 through 8 and also involve parents through a parent university initiative. Triumph Gulf Coast said the school did complete all of the necessary steps to get the grant, but they never requested the money. It's 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. If you are over in Milton on Henry Street in Milton that crosses the railroad track between Milton and Baghdad, that is under construction, and that is a detour that will take you around that. So be aware that that's going to add some time on to your delay this morning. Also, still dealing with the accident that happened at Mobile Highway and West Fairfield Drive. I'm seeing some delays in the intersection, both northbound and southbound there, so just be aware of that. Other than that, we look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 forecast.
We are going to have those rain chances coming to an end as you go through the rest of your day today. High near 77 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 61. For Tuesday, mostly cloudy skies, high near 73. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 58 degrees. Going into Wednesday, about a 40% chance of those showers and thunderstorms in the morning, high near 71. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 49. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. We've got 66 and cloudy skies right now. Your next news at 7 o'clock. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Dom Savino with Your Money Now. Hormel Foods is recalling nearly 5 million pounds of frozen chicken. The company says customers have reported finding metal in its fire-braised chicken items. A conveyor belt used in production is the culprit. The tainted chicken was sold through a restaurant supply company, so not directly to consumers. No injuries have been reported, but restaurants, hotels, and cafeterias are urged to check their freezers. Good news may be on the way to some of America's farmers. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent says China will make, quote, substantial purchases of American soybeans. It comes after U.S. and Chinese negotiators agreed to the framework of a deal the country's leaders may finalize this week. Soybean farmers have been under stress after China, the top buyer, walked away this season. That possible trade deal is one reason why it's a green start to the week on Wall Street. Futures are sharply higher. NASDAQ futures are up more than 1%. That's Your Money Now.
When you're hiring, have you ever felt like you're missing out on meeting truly great candidates for your roles? It seems impossible to find them, but they have to be out there somewhere, right? Well, they're not hard to find when you know where to go, and that place is ZipRecruiter. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter helps 10 million people with their job search every day. And because these people are actively looking for jobs just like yours, it's easy to find the right person right away. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. But if you're not using ZipRecruiter, you're missing out. So see what it's like when the impossible is easy. When you go to ZipRecruiter.com/free right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free. Never miss out on great candidates with ZipRecruiter.
It all comes down to this, folks.
Yep, the entire season is on the line.
But my throat has officially thrown in the towel.
Sounds like you need Vicks VapoCool drops. They're max strength, hand vaporized sore throat pain.
Whoa! The these VapoCool drops hit fast.
Speaking of fast, did you just see that play?
Yeah, he vaporized that ball.
That pun should have come with a penalty.
Vaporize sore throat pain with Vicks VapoCool drops. Use as directed.
VapoCool. Love electronics? Join the award-winning team at ADX Communications, home of Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, ESPN 1330, and Pensacola's Playlist. We're looking for an experienced electronics technician who can keep our stations running smooth, from the studio to the transmitter tower. Competitive pay, great benefits, and a fun, fast-paced team environment. Apply today at catcountry987.com. That's catcountry987.com. ADX is an equal opportunity employer.
Want to score tickets to see Florida State games in Tallahassee? Download our News Radio Pensacola app, then tap that app for your chance to win tickets to FSU home games Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Each day you enter brings you one step closer to being in the stands. The winner will be announced live at 5:15 p.m. on Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Download, then tap that app. The News Radio Pensacola app. And get ready to be in the stands for game day with News Radio 92.3.
She's a good girl, loves her mama, loves Jesus in America too.
The bullpen depth lacking for the Dodgers. They go to Sheehan, who hadn't pitched since the division series. Gave up a run in all three games that he pitched in the division series. Comes in here, struggles. Barger sends a towering drive, right center field, kiss it goodbye!
Addison Barger hits the first ever pinch hit grand slam in World Series history. That's amazing. The Blue Jays dominate the Dodgers on Friday. That's I'll take it. Anything where the Dodgers don't sweep. I still don't know whether they're going to win or not. I was pretty excited about this. 9-2 they wind up winning. Of course, then there was also the Saturday game, and that was not as good for the people who didn't want the Dodgers to win.
The 3-2. High drive deep to left field. It's Smith with a big swing into the second deck. He's given the Dodgers the lead in the seventh.
I'd like Joe Buck to not be so excited when the Dodgers hit a home run. And then, so that was Will Smith. And then a couple of outs later, Max Muncy's at bat.
Fastball lifted in the air, deep left field. Lucas going back. Opposite field bomb.
Opposite field. God, Max Muncy's so strong. And then what was really kind of the story of game two was not so much that the Dodgers, you know, hit the ball well and the Blue Jays did not, but that Yoshinobu Yamamoto, of course, you know about, you know, Shohei Ohtani, who is the superstar pitcher and hitter for the Dodgers. Well, they've also got Yoshinobu Yamamoto, who pitched a complete game in the prior World Series last year that he won, and now he's pitching again in a World Series game, too.
The 1-2 pitch. Popped up, left side. Yamamoto goes the distance again.
That's so crazy. The Dodgers haven't done this since 1988 with Oral Hershiser, back-to-back complete game wins. So it's a pretty good complete game in the postseason, especially in the World Series. 437-1620, that's my phone number this morning. There's some storming to our east. It's like basically over Panama City right now, the roughest of it is. So if you're headed that direction on I-10, do expect to start to see some rain when you get over into about Okaloosa County, a little east of there, actually. Maybe about halfway to Tallahassee. Of course, the biggest weather story is right now what's going on in the Caribbean, where you've got this horrendously massive storm, a Category 5 hurricane, 160-plus mile-an-hour winds. It's about to just destroy. I mean, really, I don't know what's going to – it's going to be bad for Jamaica, really, really bad for Jamaica. It's moving slow, which means that once it gets there, it's just going to grind on top of Jamaica for a long time and then move over Cuba. Of course, that's why we evacuated – or why the Navy evacuated some non-essential personnel from Cuba to come here to NAS Pensacola from Naval Station Guantanamo Bay, which, by the way, I was surprised, John. I was looking it up earlier. There's about 8,500 personnel stationed at Gitmo.
Wow, that many?
Yeah, I know. And I was trying to figure out what do we really do there? You know, because yeah. You know Gitmo for being the detention center, but that's a very small part of the operation. 8,500 people, so that's kind of a lot. But, you know, civilians, non-essential personnel, got evacuated here to basically wait out the storm. That'll help them control things better down there. Meanwhile, on Saturday, we had some football. The Argos were playing against West Virginia State. And in the very first quarter, very first drive of the game.
Call a ton of receiver names in this game. And they're going to run a trick play. Reverse flea flicker. He's got Jake Robinette. If he can hit him, Jake catches it. And he drags the defender into the end zone. Touchdown, Argos. Some trickeration, and the Argos are on the board first.
And I have never seen that. Coach Shinnick would never do that.
So you had, okay. You know what a reverse is? That's where you hand it off to a runner going one way, and then he hands off to another runner, comes the other way. Okay? Enough. But what happens, and you know what a flea flicker is? A flea flicker is when you hand it off to the running back who's behind you, the quarterback, and then he pitches it back to the quarterback to throw downfield. They ran a reverse and a flea flicker. So it's quarterback, rusher, rusher, toss to the quarterback, to throw 39 yards down the field to Jake Robinette for a touchdown. So just for sheer insanity, that is your UWF Argos play of the week, brought to you by Bogey's Golf Suites and Sports Bar. Right there on University, just north of 9 Mile, Pensacola's most exciting virtual indoor entertainment center. More than 30 virtual and interactive sports you can choose from. You can play football, you can play baseball, you can play hockey, you can play golf. You can play golf. I mean, really high, super high quality golf. Practice ranges there. You can pick all your courses, bring your own clubs, use theirs, whatever. Zombie dodgeball. You can eat there. There's a full bar and food menu. Great burgers, wings, pizza, salad, smoothies, and more. You can watch games live. You can go there after the game if it's a home game like for UWF. Play, practice, and party at Bogey's Golf Suites and Sports Bar located on University just off the UWF campus north of 9 Mile, or online at bogeysgolfsuites.com. So Argos took a quick lead in that one. They got up 7-0, and when West Virginia State was coming back down the field,
a first down for the Argos inside the red zone. They've had some issues there. This time pressure coming. Marcus floats it out. Oh!
Risky ball.
And did he pick it off? Yes, he did.
Yeah, sorry. That was UWF had the ball, and they got, you know, Marcus Stokes got picked up. It didn't really wind up costing them anything. A little bit of back and forth. Beginning of the second quarter. First play of the second quarter. UWF with the ball.
Offense has two receivers split out near side. Ball far hash. They'll run between the tackles. Touchdown, Argos. They do play this play, and yep, they play it right into the end zone. TJ Lane caps this drive.
Yep, and then later on, 3 minutes to go in the half.
They'll go power. This looks like when I played. There's like four guys in the backfield. Jay Sharp moved before the snap. And that's what it's going to be, a touchdown, but it's coming back. Jay took a little right foot in on the hokey pokey.
Yeah, yeah.
The flags fly.
No, it wind up not being offsides. They just didn't even see it.
It was going to be an easy touchdown. And now
so no worries. Jay Sharp got a touchdown there. That made it 21-0 with, I kid you not, okay, on the very next play after the kickoff.
Back to pass. They'll roll him to his right. Got guys coming. Kobe Clinton's coming. He's going to fire it deep. This one's hung up. Chester Fearon is there. Another interception for CJ. CJ to the 40. Bringing it back. They'll wrestle him down there. But Chester Fearon, another week back-to-back. My guy.
Interception for the Argos. Chester Fearon, fantastic. And that didn't lead to a score, but 50 seconds left in the half, and West Virginia State has it, but
they'll go here with 50 seconds left. Argos up 21-0. They'll run another play. They're going to hold it. First time they haven't really played with tempo. Oh, pressure coming. They force a fumble. The Argos come up with it. No, they don't. There it is. It's loose. No, they're going to say it was down. No, it's the Argos football. I thought they were going to down it.
They had gone for it on fourth and down with a fake punt and gotten the first down, and then immediately turned around and got sack fumbled. So the Argos picked it up. And in the, again, with 4 seconds to go in the half, up 27-0 already. Up 21-0 already.
They go direct snap, hand it to Marcus. They fake the reverse. Marcus throws it. He's got the tight end. Touchdown, Argos. Big Jake Robinette strikes again.
And the point after got blocked, but that made it 27-0 going into the half. And West Virginia State says, can we just go home? We don't want to be here for this. We'll finish up in just a second. John Pickens is, it's a long drive when you lose this bad. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Over in Milton on Henry Street that crosses the railroad track between Milton and Baghdad is under construction for today. There's a detour around that. Also, just got notification of the red light on Woodbine in front of Publix is completely out, so just be aware of that. Other than that, I-10, I-110, Highway 90, 98 are all looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. Yeah, so so it's 27-0, and Virginia starts to look like a long West Virginia starts to look like a long way away, and indeed it is. Third quarter, UWF gets a huge long play, a 48-yard pass to Mekhi Stevenson. TJ Lang gets a 1-yard rush, four plays later to go in for the touchdown. That's 34-0. TJ Lang got another touchdown, 41-0. They put in a backup, Tony Bartolo.
Back it up to the four. It's a loss of one on the previous play. The first TFL in a while for this West Virginia defense, but here we go.
Tackle for loss, but
Tony's going to throw it. He fires, and he's got a man down, a touchdown. What a catch across the way. Kendrick Watkins holds. Kendrick makes it happen right there.
Awesome ball.
48-0 at this point, and they're not. And that was just the beginning of the fourth quarter. So with about 4 minutes to go, they put in the third-string quarterback because that's what you do. You get everybody a chance. Tyre Davis, I'd never even heard his name before.
And they'll tuck it. Tyre Davis has got room to the 10, to the 5, into the end zone. Does he get in? Yes, he does. Touchdown, Tyre Davis from 20 yards out. And he gets his first collegiate touchdown, and he showed the wheels on this drive, no doubt about it. And the Argos have hit that 50 spot.
Man, we're trying to be nice, 55-0. We put our third stringers in, and here's the funniest one of the day, though, is there's 4 seconds to go in the game. West Virginia State has gotten their brains beat in, 55-0 all day, and they've got the ball. You ready? They're threatening.
To throw Daly as time is winding down.
It's their backup, by the way. Joe Daly is in. It's not even their starting quarterback anymore.
Back to throw Daly as time is winding down. He's looking. He fires. He's got a man. He got it on the last play of the game.
My gosh.
Wait for it,
though. Touchdown, West Virginia State.
Flag.
17, Joe Daly's pass into the end zone.
I didn't see who caught it. See the replay. Flag on the play. Daly just kept it alive. Fires it in there.
Illegal man downfield.
Oh, no.
So they got a touchdown on the last play of the game with their backup quarterback, but they got flagged for an illegal man down the field. No. We're not done yet. That means you cannot throw to him. That's the rule is an ineligible receiver. You cannot throw to him, which is what they did. But wait.
No,
I think that's what
I think it is. I think it took too long. I think they thought he was going to run. Heck of a job.
The result of the play is a touchdown. The game is over.
They just picked that up. That's dirty right there.
That's
dirty right there.
They gave it to him anyway.
The shutout gets nullified. I don't know about that. I think you're right. That flag, that's the referee's like, hey.
He's like, hey, we feel bad for these
You know
guys,
what? It was a birthday party. That kid needs a parting gift. Take your goodie bag and get on the bus to West Virginia.
So they just decided not to call the penalty. They just gave him the 6 points. You don't kick the extra point because why bother at 55-6? So not a shutout, but still. So it doesn't give me a good taste. 651 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. So the Argos go to 8-0, which is great. And they have been ranked number 3, and, we'll see. But at this pace, they are looking like world beaters. They have a very good offense. They have an incredible defense. They're doing well on special teams. The one, if there is a weakness, there's two of them really. One is they get a lot of penalties. You got to clean that stuff up. And number two is the kicking, for scoring. The kicking game is not where we would love it to be because, sometimes these playoff games come down to one score, right? And if you can't kick the ball consistently for a field goal, that's going to be a challenge. Hey, if you're thinking about buying or selling a home, Christine Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty are really good at this. And, a couple of years ago, it was really easy to sell homes and everybody was selling homes. And at that point, it always is good to have a good realtor, okay? It's when the market's a little rougher that it's really good to have a good realtor. And one of the things that Christine was telling me recently, I was talking to her, she says, we just lately picked up a bunch of homes from people that have already been under contract with other realtors, and they cannot get them sold or do not get them sold, and they sit and sit. And actually, I think she said there were two cases, definitely one, but I think there was two cases she was telling me that they've had as many as 5 real. Can you imagine trying to sell a home and you go through 5 realtors? How just your life is miserable. And then, you call Christine, they're like, done. Okay, no problem. So if you want results, call her. Ask her what she can do for you and talk with her, make a good decision. 786-3996 for Christine Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though
You don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
Looking for a stylish way to promote your brand or celebrate a special occasion? Prim and Proper in Gulf Breeze now offers custom hats, a new addition to their lineup of custom and promotional items. From corporate logos to personalized designs, these hats are perfect for businesses, events, team gear, or one-of-a-kind gifts. Prim and Proper is still your go-to for custom engraving and unique gifts. From personalized drinkware to engraved home decor, every item is crafted with care by their in-house experts. Visit primandproper.com for more.
Tune into the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10 when Brittany Hughes from Parks and Recreation will be on the show. She'll be discussing summer camps, where they're located, the cost, and how you can apply for a scholarship for your child to attend. She'll also cover deadlines to register, how to register, and will be available for you to call or text in with your questions during the show.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Want to win tickets to Florida State home games? Download our News Radio Pensacola app, then tap that app. Tap that app to enter Monday through Friday on News Radio 92.3.
I'm going to say this because I believe in being straight with people. I think you are a Mento.
You recognize John? You don't know this song, but do you recognize him? You know the voice. Liv Tyler's dad.
Oh, Steven Tyler?
Yeah, that's Aerosmith. I know.
Wow.
Isn't that great? Like bluesy rock. 6:55 here on News Radio 92.3. It's called Shame, Shame, Shame. So good song. Anyway, John Pickens got traffic on the fives. John?
All right. We've got a couple accidents to let you know about right now. North Davis Highway and North Cross Lane. We've got an accident that just happened there. Looks like I-10, I-110 are actually flowing smoothly this morning. Just some minor delays on Highway 29 going southbound as you approach 10 Mile Road. And, of course, 98 eastbound as you approach the Windhaven Beach area, seeing slowdowns in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. French police have arrested suspects in connection with the Louvre heist last week, where thieves stole millions in jewels. The arrests were made Saturday evening, according to a Paris prosecutor whose name I'm not going to attempt to say.
Come on. Give it a shot.
Nope.
You say it wrong, and I'll say it. I'll go from the spelling and tell you how to say it.
Oh,
4 years of French, man. I'm here. I'm here for you.
Laure Bissot.
That's fine.
Did I get it right? Okay.
Sure. Close enough.
There's a first time for everything.
Yeah, you know, why not? I'm just waiting for somebody on the news to say the Louvre.
I'm surprised it hasn't happened yet.
Go on.
So, let's see. Investigators believe four suspects were involved. Details on the number of arrests have remained undisclosed so far. The museum's director, though, calls the incident a terrible failure of their security. A group of Chinese bombers recently flew near Taiwan for confrontation drills. That was reported by Chinese state media. Comes just days before U.S. and Chinese presidents are set to meet in South Korea. Taiwan's defense ministry dismissed that report as being a propaganda effort aimed at intimidation. The Chinese military says that units from their Eastern Theater Command were conducting training exercises focusing on air blockades and precision strikes.
I would say that every word that comes out of China's communications department is a propaganda effort aimed at intimidation. Like, everything they do is a lie. Go on.
That's a fair assessment there. And the FAA announced a ground stop for all flights going into Los Angeles LAX airport Sunday due to staffing shortages. That decision followed U.S. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy's warning that travelers should expect more delays and cancellations as air traffic controllers are continuing to work without pay, and apparently absenteeism is becoming a bigger issue by the day. Staffing shortages also led to some disruptions over the weekend at Newark Liberty International Airport, Teterboro Airport, and in Fort Myers at the Southwest Florida International Airport.
And, you know, they're talking about sort of throttling access in at some of the other major airports on the Eastern Seaboard. I was like, LAX is closed. The what? I saw that. Oh, that's crazy. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 437-1620. Oh, this is kind of just a wild little note. They say sour candy can help alleviate anxiety. Because anxiety is based on over-fearing the future, thinking too much about the bad things that can happen. And what sour candy does, it kind of grabs your attention and makes you focus on what your mouth is experiencing right now. And so you're distracted, basically, from the spiral of fear and anxiety. And the idea is a surprising taste in your mouth, like sour candy, can make you sort of pay attention. It's kind of this, I hate to say it this way because it's going to sound super new agey, but it's like the mindfulness thing. You know, be paying attention to the moment instead of fearing for the future. But, you know, hey, try it. By the way, you get candy.